Due to the rapid pace of climate change, more than 30% of the world's vertebrate species have been lost since 1970, and droughts and floods have become increasingly commonplace. One of the most important steps an individual, family, corporation, or community can take to help reverse these trends is to cultivate a native plant garden. Today, we again highlight the laudable work of Alri Middlebrook, an artist and professional landscaper from Santa Clara County, California, USA, whose deep love of indigenous plants and the environment led her to become one of her state's most prominent native plant experts. Ms. Middlebrook's book, Designing California Native Gardens, co-authored with renowned field botanist Dr. Glenn Keeter, has become the number one best-selling book on the topic. In 2004, Ms. Middlebrook founded the California Native Garden Foundation, a charitable organization that provides information for those looking to design and create their own water-wise gardens with beautiful indigenous plants. Her conservation-minded landscape design firm, Middlebrook Gardens, has helped over 150 people, organizations, and communities to live more sustainably by starting native plant gardens. Middlebrook Gardens launched the Lose the Lawn initiative to raise awareness that lawns are not environmentally friendly and to encourage the public to replace their lawns with inexpensive, pesticide-free, low-maintenance native gardens that require little water. Ms. Middlebrook will now share some secrets about establishing a native garden that supports wildlife, reduces water consumption, and creates an abundant food source. We'll start with a native garden project that turned a family yard into a sustainable, edible oasis.
The garden that I'm standing in front of is the garden of a family of four, two children and mom and dad, and it's a combination of edibles, conventional edible plants, native edibles, and native habitat gardening. They're very interested in doing their part to reduce global warming. And so what we've done here in their garden is to employ as many principles in sustainable garden design so that they can leave as little impact on Mother Nature as four people possibly could.
Before, our garden was just plain grass, but now I like it because there are four trees that I can climb.
I like my garden because it's now more interesting and it's much more fun, and that's all.
My favorite part of the garden is the fact that it's now an edible garden. The driveway was the least favorite part of the whole house, and it was just a big slab of concrete. And now we cut out the sides, and there are edibles on one side and natives on the other side, natives that are also edible.
Middlebrook Gardens emphasizes water conservation in its designs by returning water to the aquifer and using berms, a natural approach derived from permaculture, or the design of human habitats and farms to mimic nature.
So one of the things I want you to notice is the mounds. This was all flat, and we brought in extra soil to build the mounds. We talked earlier about the chaparral plants and how they have to be planted on a mound because we want to copy the way they grow in nature. So here's the mounds, and then in the middle of their garden here, we seeded a native meadow.
Channeling rainfall ensures that it will later be used by the garden in the dry season.
Now let's go look at the dry creek, because what we are doing with the dry creek is we take the water from the roof, and instead of having it flow into the driveway and out to the storm drain and out to the bay and upset the ecology of the San Francisco Bay, we're actually having the downspout water flow into the creek bed. So in the winter, when it rains, the creek bed fills up, and then the water dissipates gradually out into the landscape and provides water for these plants to get established. And once these plants are established, after 2 years, they're not going to need to water this garden at all.
Placing compatible plant species next to one another helps the new garden grow quickly and flourish.
We know that when you put the plants back together that evolved together, something occurs on the whole that protects life and perpetuates life. It has to do with the kinds of pollinators that evolve with them. And we're talking about a system that has literally taken millions of years to evolve as a very complex system. Each one of these living organisms, whether it's a plant or the insect that pollinates the plant or the bird that finds food on the plant, it all fits together like a very, very complex puzzle. And each one of those living organisms has a niche that it is holding because it's providing something for the community as a whole. So if you put everything back together that evolved together, you're recreating the complexity and the beauty of the natural world.
When we return, we'll look at how designing a sustainable native garden with microclimates in mind can produce excellent results. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, where we are focusing on gardens featuring indigenous plants with Alri Middlebrook. Ms. Middlebrook now discusses the importance of microclimates in planning a new garden. The term microclimate refers to the climate of an area of land as small as a few meters.
I want to talk a little bit about microclimates of an individual lot and how learning about the microclimates of your own garden will help you make decisions about what plants are going to grow in your specific microclimates. So here we've got two sections of gardening here on both sides of the driveway. Now this section here gets the hot, full afternoon sun. Now you know if you're going to plant food crops, you've got to have between 5 to 8 hours of full sun a day. So this is south facing.
Even the structures on a garden site need to be considered when determining the microclimate.
Here we are on the other side of the driveway. This is a microclimate where it gets morning sun, but it gets the shade in the afternoon. You can see the house provides the shade. And so we looked at this very carefully before I designed this garden. Where are the microclimates on this property, and how can we use those microclimates to produce not only a native garden that provides beneficial habitat to nature and to wildlife, but also a native edible garden that provides food to humans while it's providing habitat value as well? And that's a subject that I'm particularly interested in, and it's the subject of my next book, which is called Eating California.
Some plants play a large role in protecting against floods and mudslides and in providing a home to various animal species.
One of the most important plants in the whole garden is this plant right here. The common name is coyote bush, Baccharis pilularis.
Why is this particular plant so important?
There's two reasons this plant is important. One is habitat value. I keep talking about if you want to reduce your impact for global warming, you really need to plant a native garden because we're restoring local ecology. There are over 100 insects that are dependent on this plant for life. So it has really high habitat value in the garden. The highest habitat value of any plant in California is an oak tree. An oak tree provides habitat value for over 5,000 species of insects and living organisms. So habitat value, it ranks like this. It starts with the oak, then it goes to the elderberry. We looked at the elderberry. We talked about food value for humans for elderberry, but we didn't talk about habitat value. And this is the real issue with fighting global warming and species decimation, which we're facing in the world today. 30% of species decimation because we are destroying habitat. All right, so number two is the elderberry. Number three is the baccharis. Baccharis also is the best erosion control plant. So what the baccharis does is it has tiny fibrous roots that enable the water to percolate down into the soil and hold the water at the site instead of having it gush and run off. It slows the water down and allows the water to percolate. So incredibly important plant in a native garden.
Cultivating indigenous plants in a home garden contributes significantly to the healing of our planet.
I hope that you'll be inspired to plant natives, grow a little of your own food, and while you do that, you know you'll be helping to reduce global warming, you'll be creating more biodiversity at home in your neighborhood so that species of wonderful animals aren't threatened, and you're going to be saving water and not using chemicals, and you're going to be helping the bee colony collapse from affecting our food supply by working more with our native bees and the native foods that are edible.
Ms. Middlebrook also has some kind words about Supreme Master Qinghai.
It's been a privilege for me to learn about Supreme Master Television and Supreme Master Qinghai and the work that she's doing and all of her followers. And I'm very pleased to be associated with the work because it really deals with the essence of some of the problems that we have in confronting global warming. Vegetarianism, a huge, huge solution for combating global warming. You know, if Americans could get away from eating a half a pound of meat a day, we'd be a long way toward counteracting the impacts of global warming in our society. So kudos to all of you for all that you're doing to get the message out to the world.
We sincerely thank Ms. Alri Middlebrook for taking the time to inform us about cultivating a bountiful native garden. May this wonderful, earth-friendly practice spread quickly around the world. Coming up next is Enlightening Entertainment after Noteworthy News. May gardening bring you many hours of joy.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/AW.